And would you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13, please? Exodus chapter 13. You'll need your Bibles this morning, so keep them open. I have some verses up on the screen. Others you can follow along. Exodus chapter 13, beginning with verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them. So stop right there for a moment. We're going to read a whole lot more, so keep your Bibles open. But notice who led them. God led them. Aren't you glad that God leads us? And the Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And yet, sometimes we find ourselves in big messes, don't we? Anybody ever find yourself in a mess? I have. So, find yourself on the back road spiritually. Sometimes we find ourselves in dead-end alleys. We find ourselves in dry places. And we think, well, if God is leading us, then God can't read a road map. Because look where I'm at. Look at where I'm at in my life. Look what's going on. Or maybe it's not that God can't read the road map. Maybe it's that I'm not a very good listener. And maybe I'm not following him. Or I must be out of his will because I keep ending up taking detours. Or I keep ending up at a dead end. Or I come to these dry places or desert roads in life. Now I want to show you from the scriptures today that sometimes God leads us in these places. And we're on the King's Highway and we're on a journey to joy. We're on a journey to heaven, the Christian life, leading us to the promised land. We have Christ as our companion. We have the Holy Spirit as our guide. And we have the Bible as our map. But sometimes things don't turn out in life the way we expect them to turn out. And we have a lot of unexpected things that show up on the road, on the journey of the Christian life. And sometimes we think we've misread the map. We've not heard from God. Somehow we've gotten out of the will of God. Let me talk to you this morning, first of all, about the discipline of detours. Let's continue on. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. It came. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about. I want you to notice that phrase. God led the people about. That means that God led them in circles. God led the people through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now, it's interesting here. The Bible makes it very clear that God did not lead them the short way to the promised land when they left Egypt. But rather, God took them the long way around. He didn't take them the direct route, but God led them on a detour. And here's a map. And really, this is the land of Goshen up here where Israel was. And if he would have led them up to the promised land, up this way, they would have had to go through the land of the Philistines, the land of the giants. But God led them this way. And I don't know how it all circles up there, but God took them a roundabout way. What some have suggested was that if they would have went the straight way, they would have had like a 3-day journey. How many years did they go through the wilderness? 40. 40 years through the wilderness. And so we have to ask, don't we? Why did God lead them that way? Why, when God took them out of the land of Egypt through the wilderness, didn't he bring them directly to the land flowing with milk and honey, into the promised land? Why didn't God just take the shortest route? Because, you know, the straight line is the shortest distance between two points. You know what? It might be the shortest distance, but it's not always the best distance. And God has a purpose many times when we come to the detours in life, and he tells us very quickly and very plainly why he did not lead them directly in verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest providentially the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. So God knew that if they took the straight line, they would have to go through Philistia. And had they gone there, they would have met up with the warlike Philistines. And when they saw the Philistines, and they saw these giants, and they saw what the Philistines could do, and how they would want to make war, the people of Israel would have become frightened, and they would have wanted to return to Egypt. They would have wanted to turn around and go back to Egypt. They would have become dismayed. They would have become discouraged. And they would have become defeated. And so God didn't lead them that way. God knew that his people were not yet ready for battle. There is this war, church, and we are all part of it, right? Whether we like it or not, we wrestle. We fight against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness and high in heavenly places. And I'm so glad that God knows what I'm ready for and what I can handle and what I'm not ready for and what I can't handle. Because there are some times in your life when God takes you, not the shortest way, but he takes you on a detour because he knows that there are some things up there that you are not yet ready to deal with, that you are not yet strong enough to handle, that you're not yet ready to take on that particular battle and that particular fight. Now, God has a promised land for you. God has a land of blessing. God has a place of fulfillment. And God has a job for you to do. And God has a ministry for you to do. He wants to give it to you. But sometimes we feel like we're out there in the middle of the wilderness, and all we're doing is spinning our heels and going around in circles. And when that happens, we think, oh, I must be out of the will of God. I want you to know they were not out of the will of God. God led them, remember? We read that right away. God led them. And God leads us. And because he knows that we are not quite ready for some of the things that he has in store for us. And so today, if you're on that winding road and that rocky road, that desert road, that wilderness road, it doesn't mean that you are out of the will of God. It doesn't mean that you've missed God somewhere. In fact, the whole point is God has chosen to take you on a detour. For some reason, God has not led you down the straightest route. Sometimes, you know, folks can get there too quickly. I've met Christians, people who became Christians and just seemed like they were really on fire, and they went up like a rocket and they came down like a rock. I mean, they just burned out real fast. They get the Christian life and they're on fire for a while, but they burn too quickly. And the reason that God led them in the wilderness is because it was God's boot camp. Notice where God led them. In verse 18, the Bible says, but God led the people about, again, that's in circles. God led them about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. What's God doing? We're going to see in a moment, really, that he's toughening them up. It's like God's boot camp. That's what the whole wilderness experience was for them. God was getting them ready. Now, doubtless, they didn't understand what was going on. They didn't understand it all. They didn't know what God had in store for them. But you know, they didn't have to know. It's enough that God knew. And sometimes in our life, honestly, folks, today, let's make this as practical as we can. There are some things that happen in our life we don't know why. Isn't that true? But can I suggest to you today that when we get to the place of faith and trust, we don't need to know why, because God knows. And that's good enough for us. God knows. And sometimes we're just not quite ready. Maybe you're here today and you've been asking God to give you a certain job and you don't have it. Maybe you're here and you've been praying and asking God for a spouse, and God has not led you down that line yet. Maybe some here are wanting to go to school. You don't have the finances. Maybe somebody here is wanting to get started in a ministry, and yet you just seem like you're wandering around. It seems like you're going in circles. There's a reason. God's just not ready for that to happen in your life yet. One of the things I've realized about God is that he is never in a hurry. God called Moses, and Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. God called the great apostle Paul, only he wasn't Paul yet, he was Saul, and Paul wasn't ready. And Paul went into Arabia, and God was getting him ready for the ministry. You know, it's a blessing to me that sometimes we think we have to be achieving. We have to be going in straight lines, or we're out of the will of God. Not necessarily so. And again, the important thing is not that you know, the important thing is that God knows, and that you are following him. Notice in verse 21, the Bible says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and night, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." The pillar of fire, the cloud. The cloud in the day, the fire at night. What do they represent? I believe they represent the Holy Spirit. They came out of Egypt because of the Passover lamb representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they were led by the Holy Spirit. Because you see, after God redeems us, after God saves us, he then gives us the Holy Spirit to lead us. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. And just as that pillar of cloud was their guidance in the wilderness, the Holy Spirit is your guide. The Holy Spirit is my guide in the wilderness experiences of this life. And the important thing is not that I see where I'm going. The important thing is that day by day, night by night, I'm following the cloud. I'm following the pillar of fire. I'm following the Holy Spirit. Moment by moment in my life, I'm walking in the Spirit. Now it could be, I have to mention this, could be that you're out of the will of God. It could be that somehow you got out of the will of God. And it may be that you're going around in circles because you haven't read the map right, and because you haven't listened to your guide. And it may be that's the reason why you're stumbling around in the wilderness and you don't have any business being there. But I want you to know something else. I want you to know that you also could be there and be perfectly in the will of God. And God knows exactly what he's doing with you, even though to you it seems like you're just going around in circles, that you're just spinning your heels. See, it's your job and my job to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our job, to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and be led by the Spirit. That's what you need to know. You don't need to know the rest. You don't even need to understand why, although sometimes we like to ask, and nothing wrong with that. But it could be today that you're in the wilderness and you're on a detour and you're running around in circles. And the reason is simply this: God knows that you're not ready for the next event in life. God is preparing you. God is working in your life. But God knows there's some Philistines up there God knows there's a giant up there ahead. God knows they're going to wage war with you, and you're just not strong enough yet. Nothing wrong with that. Just could be the way it is. God is not going to leave you there in the weakness, but he's going to strengthen you. And when he has brought you to the place where you can endure, he'll lead you on. And so it's possible today that there are some here, you're experiencing a detour. Things just haven't played out the way you want. You think something else should be happening in your life. You're just not there yet. It's okay. You're still in the will of God. Be patient with God. And then secondly, the dilemma of dead ends. Not only the discipline of detours, but the dilemma of dead ends. Now, he led them on the detour to help them grow and to toughen them up. And I want you to notice this dilemma of dead ends. Look, if you would, in chapter 14. Go over one chapter to verse 8. Chapter 14, verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pharaoh-hoth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us, thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now I want you to notice that they are still being led by the Lord. And this time they came up against something more aggravating than a detour, a dead end. You remember, ever drove in your car? You know, it's one thing to get a detour. I don't like detours. We just got a new GPS, and we were heading to, where were we heading? I don't know. We were in Minnesota. We were going through Iowa. And the GPS, this new GPS, told us that we should take this detour, this other route. And we said, what is that thing doing? I'm not going to get off the main road. You know, we should have listened to that thing. Because it took us about 2 hours to get through a traffic jam where three or four lanes, converged into one. Oh, aggravating. But you know what's worse is a dead end. A dead end. And that's where these Israelites had now come. Now God is still leading them, but there have mountains on either side of them, and in front of them is the Red Sea, and behind them is the approaching Egyptian army. They are at a dead end. Here comes Pharaoh with his sword glittering in the sun, blood in his eye, and all his armies and all his chariots. And the Israelites are trapped between the sword and the sea. They're boxed in, they're hemmed in. There was no way out of this that they could see. So they begin to blame Moses, right? And in their aggravation with their detour, it turns from aggravation to desperation. Moses, can't you read a map? He read it. He's following the Lord. They're not there by accident. They're not there by happenstance. It's very clear that God led them there. In chapter 14, again, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and camp between Pharaoh-hoth, between Migdal and the sea. God told them to camp there. God told them this was where he wanted them to be. And so God led them there. But he led them there for a purpose, a wonderful purpose. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel that they are entangled in the land. So God brought them to that place. They were entangled there. God put them there. In verse 3 of chapter 14, it says that Pharaoh would then think, ha, I've got them. They're entangled. They're trapped. They're at a dead end. But you know what God is doing? God is baiting the hook. He's going to bring judgment on old Pharaoh, and he's going to use the Israelites to bait the hook. And Pharaoh will say they're entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. That is, they're at a dead end. And God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall suffer after them, or shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. God had a purpose. You're going to come up against situations in life that are beyond aggravating. And you're going to wonder, what's the way out of this mess? Sometimes God will lead you to a place of desperation, a place right where the Israelites were. And I'll tell you, I've been there. You come to a place and there's no preacher who can give you a sermon that will help you find your way out. There's no book that you can read that's going to give you all the answers. Why? Because there's no human way out of this situation. It's not a discipline from God. It's a dilemma. It's a dilemma of dead ends. But I want you to understand that when you get to that place, there's no panic in heaven. When the Israelites got to the Red Sea, there's mountains on either side. There's a sea in front of them. There's the Egyptian army behind them. I don't believe for one moment that God panicked. There was a plan. God had a plan that would get them through all along. Do you know that sometimes the place of desperation becomes the place of dependence? That's where God wants us to be. That when we come to the place and we say there's absolutely no human way out of this situation. In chapter 14 and verse 13, God said to the children of Israel, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speakest unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go out on dry ground in the midst of the sea. So God brought them to a place of desperation so that he could bring them to a place of dependence on him. What is the purpose of the dead end in your life? If you're in a situation and you feel like you are at a dead end and you don't see any human way out of this situation, when you come to that place, I mean by the hand of God, God brings you there. What's the purpose for it? Well, there's four things that God told the Israelites that are true of you today. What does God do for you? Number one, look in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Chapter 14, verse 13. See, you come to a place when there's all kinds of things to fear. Who wouldn't fear the sea? Who wouldn't fear the army? When you come to a place where there's all kinds of things to fear, God says, fear not. God brings us to the place of desperation that we may learn that there is nothing to fear. 365 times in the Bible, one time for every day of the year, the Bible says, fear not, or some saying which means, don't fear, don't be afraid. For example, Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So God brings you to this place of desperation so that you might place your dependence on him. And he says, fear not. don't fear. One of my favorite expositors, he's gone home to be with the Lord now, but Ron Dunn, I just really love Ron Dunn. He was a Baptist preacher. And he had a child that committed suicide, had some mental problems, and before they could get help, the son committed suicide. Ron Dunn said after that happened, he said, "I have nothing to fear. The devil has given me his worst, and I'm still standing." Ron Dunn, if you ever get a chance to read his messages or hear his messages, what they all came down to was this: Jesus is sufficient. But really, he just had numerous ways, but he all came to the same conclusion that Jesus is sufficient. And I want you to know that he is. And we sang about him this morning. And we talked about his great name when we sang. The second thing he said is stand still. In verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not, stand still." What else is there to do anyway, right? This is out of their hands. The Bible says in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Oh, you know what we do? We hurry around. We make our own plans. We try to manipulate the situation. We're conniving, we're scheming. But finally, we come to the place where we're hemmed in. There's mountains on either side. There's a sea in front of us. There's the enemy behind us. There's no way out but up. Really? There's no way to look but up. Stand still and know that I am God. We have to do something about our situation, even if it's wrong. Somebody talked about, you know, the hogs. Remember the hogs that Jesus sent the demons into? Drove out the demons out of a demon-possessed man and cast them into a herd of swine. Do you remember the story in Mark 5, what happens? The demons enter this herd of swine and they run over a cliff and they all die. And I think sometimes that's the way we are with, as Christians. We think we've got to do something. We've got to keep moving. If this isn't working, we got to try something else. You know what? Sometimes we just need to be still and let God handle the situation. Sometimes God places us where there's nothing that we can do. No counsel that we can get, no banker to help, no doctor to help, no one to help us. And God says, "Fear not, stand still, and know that I am God." The third thing is that he told them that they would see the salvation of the Lord. That's the next thing. And what's interesting to me is that it's not to see it after it takes place. He's telling them to see before it ever happens. This is faith. This is the eye of faith. It is seeing what God is going to do. It meant stand still long enough, be still long enough until God shows you what he's going to do and what God wants you to do in response to that. And then God shows us the way. And it's the way we've never seen before. Verse 15, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Now, there's no contradiction here. It's not that he told them to stand still and then he contradicted himself and told them to go forward. No, they were to stand still until they saw the way of salvation. And then when God showed them the way of salvation, and God showed them what he was going to do, then they began to move out. Then they went forward. Verse 16, But lift thou up the rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. God took that dead end and he made it a superhighway through the Red Sea. You're at a dead end today. You don't see any human way around the situation or through the situation. That's all right. God is bringing to a place of desperation so that you will learn dependence. And when you see that there is no way, and when you say, God, only you can make a way, then God opens up an entirely new way that you never would have dreamed of, and he does away with a dead end. God knows the way through the wilderness. And maybe you're here today and there's a river that is too deep for you to cross. Maybe there's a mountain that's too high and tough for you to tunnel through. You know the song, God specializes in things thought impossible. And he will do what no other power can do. He'll make a path through the sea. He'll cut a hole through the mountain. Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? Is there a mountain standing in your way? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, that mountain, God says, will come down. God says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That so-called impossibility is God's opportunity to display his glory and his might if you are living in the Spirit, and if you have your eye, where? On the cloud, on the pillar of fire. If you've got your eyes on Jesus and you're walking in the Spirit, nothing shall be impossible. The dilemma of detours. God may have taken you on a detour. He's done that to strengthen you, to get you ready for what lies ahead. You weren't ready before. The dilemma of dead ends. When you come to the place where you don't fear and you stand still and you see with eyes of faith, God will do away with a dead end and make a highway. And then next is the disappointment of dry holes. In chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Now notice there, Moses, God's man, he's still leading. They still haven't gotten lost. They still are reading the map correctly. But it's a strange way that the Lord leads them now. Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. A dry hole. Man, God has a strange way of leading sometimes, doesn't he? First he takes them on a detour. Then he leads them to a dead end. And now he brings them to a dry hole. A place where there's no water. You know, I think better throw away this map and get a new one. We traveled all night. At least we found a motel. But this motel has no running water. They're at the end of the road. They're bone weary. They've come to this place. Again, please understand that they are not here because they've done anything wrong. This is not punishment. And yet do they come to this place of dryness. They come to a place of barrenness. They're here by divine providence. Again, God brought them here for a purpose. You want to see the purpose? Verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. So first of all, they came to a place where there was no water. And then they came to a place where there was water, but they couldn't drink it because it was too bitter to drink. The name Marah means bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we eat? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And notice this phrase, and there he proved them. There he tested them. You know how they do these TV commercials and they advertise these cars? And they go all through all kinds of terrain. And then they say at the end, this was a professional driver, right? Don't try this yourself. Leave this kind of driving up to the professionals. Some of the young men need to hear that. But they actually take those cars through situations like that. They call them proving grounds. They test them out. And here's a test that God gave the nation of Israel, but they failed it. They failed it miserably. Wait, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Who led them? God led them. If there's any doubt, there it is. All the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now watch. To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. You see, God knew exactly what he was doing. And when God brought them to this place in the wilderness, it wasn't that God was mad at them. It wasn't because they had sinned. It wasn't because Moses was a bad leader. God did it to prove them, to teach them some things. And you're going to find that as you live life, sometimes you're going to come up on some detours. Sometimes there's going to be some dead ends. Sometimes there's going to be some dry holes. Sometimes there's going to be some bitter experiences. And it's not because of anything that you've done. It's because God is leading you. God is still on the throne. And God may be testing you. And I pray that when you come to the test, you don't fail it. The Israelites failed it miserably in Exodus 15, 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And it's a remarkable thing because in Exodus 15, they sing the song of Moses. They'd come through the Red Sea, they're rejoicing, they're praising the Lord. And now just 3 days later, they're murmuring and they're complaining. Could I show you Exodus 16:8? This is one of the greatest lessons you will ever learn. Moses says in the last part of that verse, your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. God gave them Moses. They murmured against him. God led them into these circumstances through his wisdom, and yet they murmured. Can I be so bold today as to tell you that murmuring is a sin? You know why it's a sin? Because it demonstrates unbelief. It demonstrates unbelief. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you don't need to turn there. Let me read. Beginning with verse 6. God is speaking to you and me. Because the Bible says, now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10 though, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. There's some serious sins there. And God lists murmuring among them because, again, it shows a lack of faith. Let's be reasonable. Would God have led them through the Red Sea, destroyed the Egyptian army, done all of these things for them, only to let them die 3 days later? I don't think so. It doesn't make sense. And if Jesus died on the cross for you and save you, which he did, do you really think he's going to abandon you? When you come to your a place in life that is a dry hole or even a place of bitterness, God has so much that he has invested in you, so much that he has done for you. He died for you. Do you really think he's going to leave you alone? Do you really think he's going to abandon you? See, that's why murmuring is rooted in unbelief. We're saying, God, I don't believe you. I don't think I can trust you. There was no need for them to murmur. They couldn't see it. There was no water. Then there was water, but it was bitter. There was a tree there, though. There was a tree, and God said to Moses, go get that tree and throw it into the bitter waters. And the bitter waters became sweet. Here's what I believe, church. I believe that we don't come across up against anything that Calvary's not the answer for. I don't think that we could come across anything that Jesus is not the answer to. He's sufficient for the trials and the tribulations and the bitterness and in the dry areas of life. Exodus 15, 24 and 25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. The whole time they were murmuring, the tree was there. God didn't create it. It was there all the time. He had already made the provision. He already knew what he was going to do. In church, when you come to a place where there's a dry hole, or you come to a place and there's bitter waters, we're tempted to murmur and complain, but please don't, because I want you to know there's a tree. God already knows what he's going to do. God already has the answer. He's already gone ahead and has prepared something to turn that bitter situation into something sweet. Of course, the tree represents Jesus, as Jeremiah called, the righteous branch. It speaks of Calvary, of Jesus dying on the cross. And so they come to this dryness, they come to this place of desperation, and there, by type, by picture, by symbol, is the sufficiency of Calvary and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in the barren places and the bitter places, Jesus is enough. And sometimes, though, we come to those places because he wants to prove us. He wants to test us. Do you really believe that I'm enough? Do you really trust in me to provide? You see, an amazing thing about these bunch of murmurers is that right over the hill, they couldn't see it, but they're following God's map. And right over the hill, not very far away, is a gorgeous oasis. A beautiful oasis. And in verse 27, and they came to Elim, chapter 15, verse 27, they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 80, that's 60, and 10, that's 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Oh, one of the most beautiful oasis in the midst of the desert. But it was right over the hill. They couldn't see it, but they had to trust God. There's somebody here today. It fits in at least one of these three categories. I know that because I was going to preach a different message up until a few days ago, and God laid this on my heart. There's somebody here today. You feel like you're going around in circles. God has led you on a detour. And let me tell you the reason God has led you onto that detour. And you think, I should be here. I should have accomplished this with my life so far. How come I'm not seeming to make any progress, any headway? Because there's something ahead that God is preparing you for, God is strengthening you for, and you're just not ready yet, but you need to trust God. You need to trust Him. Or somebody's here, and God has led you to a dead end. And you're facing a situation that is impossible, and you can't see any way out of this situation. You know what God is saying to you? Don't fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just stand still. Don't do anything until God shows you the way out. Until by eyes of faith, you can see. And then when God gives you that sight, then you move forward. And I believe there's still others. You are camped at a dry place. Or you are camped near some bitter waters. And what are you doing there? You're there because God led you. God led you there because He's proving you. He's testing you. And He wants you to know. He wants you to learn the greatest thing you could ever learn in life. Jesus is enough. That He's all you need. That He is all sufficient. And it's not so important that you know, but God knows. Because let's be honest, God's ways are not our ways, are they? And His thoughts are not our thoughts. So it's just important that God knows and that you trust Him. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All you have to do is follow. All you need to do is keep your eye on the cloud. All you need to do is keep your eye on the pillar of fire. All you need to do is to be led by the Spirit of God. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. You may be here this morning, you think, you know, I came here this morning thinking God forsook me. God has forsaken me. Somehow I must have gotten out of the will of God. God brought me here this morning to tell you that He brought you there. You know what? It's there on your route. It's there on the map that God has printed out for you. It's part of your route. It's the way that He's led you. It's the way that He wants you to go. And if you're here today and you are facing a detour, would you just simply tell God, God, I don't know the route that You're taking me, but I trust You. Would you do that? Right where you're sitting. God, I don't know the route You're taking me. You seem to be taking me in circles, but I trust You. Or maybe you come up against the dead end and you see no way out. You say, God, I don't see any way out. I don't see how this is humanly possible, but God, I trust You. And I will not fear. And I will stand still and I will see Your salvation. And I promise that when You tell me to move forward, I'll move forward. I'll act in faith. I will obey. And then maybe you're here and you're at a dry place. And here's where, you need to trust God. Because right over the hill from where you are standing right now, right over the hill is a beautiful oasis. right over the hill is beautiful palm trees. Right over the hill is blessing. But God is saying, will you trust me? Will you trust me? Don't murmur. Don't show unbelief. But would you say, God, even here, I trust you. And I believe that right over the hill is something beautiful that you have planned for me. And I trust you with this dry experience. I trust you with these bitter waters. Heavenly Father, you know where each person is on their spiritual journey this morning. You know where each person is on the road of life. Lord, not that you just know that you're there walking with them, step by step. You're leading, you're guiding. You are our companion, and the Holy Spirit is our guide. The Bible is our roadmap. Lord, we choose to follow you, and we choose to walk in the Spirit, and we choose to let you and your word guide us through life. Lord, it's hard, but we even want to thank you today for the detours and the dead ends and the dry holes, because we know it's all part of life that will bring us to the place of exceeding great joy. Be with each person, again, no matter where they are on their journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.